to the one day to feed the world. That's in just in several weeks. My glasses are extremely dirty. So here we are, only a few smudges left. Okay. And so that's just in a few weeks. And last year, you guys went above and beyond. We doubled what our goal was last year. We ended up with $33,000 for Convoy of Hope. Yeah, fantastic. And so, just be ready for that day. One day's wage, that's all it is, out of 365 days of the year. One day's wage, and if we all do that, we're just going to see a mighty offering that day. So that's just going to be fantastic. One day to feed the world. Now, I've got a very fun subject today for you. I'm going to talk about bitterness and forgiveness. Hold on to your hats. It's a tough subject. You know, but when we're talking about being a light to our world, lighting it up, to be a forgiving person can shine especially bright in our world, because there are a whole lot of people that are not and that are holding a lot of bitterness. And you can tell. You can tell in their lives overall. It shows in how they live, how they speak. But we don't want that to be us. And what I'm going to share with you today can be life-saving for you. It can be life-saving for people that you know. And it can bring joy to your life. It really can. And sometimes I was thinking about this. You know, the biggest moments of joy in our life really come through trial. And that brings, when you come out on the other side, comes real joy in your life. And so I'm going to start by telling you a little story. So I've been a worship pastor for a long time. And even in these last, whatever it is, 18 years where I've been the lead associate pastor here, I've still continued to be the worship pastor, pastoring the worship team. And so that's my heart. That's where God has naturally gifted me the most. I love it. I've loved it all these years. It's just my very favorite thing in ministry. And but I gotta say, as a as a worship pastor, as great as it is, and it's great, one of the most challenging things can be the fact that people love all different kinds of music. And I know a whole lot of you in here, and I know a whole lot of different kinds of music that you like. And it ranges all the way from country gospel to country music to, 70s, 80s, 60s rock and roll to classical music. I know people out there that love all of those kinds of music, and jazz, all different kinds. And so as a worship pastor, you know, you've got your popular music that's going on, and so that's what we do a lot of and always have done that. But there are times when people don't like what you're doing. It does happen, and it has happened over the years, and I just want to share a little story about that. You know, when I was at my last church, it was a Mennonite church, and I don't know if you know much about Mennonites. They're like a step away, I'll just put it this way, a step away from Amish. Now, there's a whole lot of different kinds of Mennonites out there, I need to tell you that. Just like there's a whole lot of different kinds of Assemblies of God churches, there's a lot of different Mennonite churches. But if you've ever heard a cappella Mennonite church singing, it's very beautiful. And I mean, they know all the parts, and it's important to know all the parts, I will tell you that. And they love hymns, and they know, boy, they know a lot of them. And so at the last church I was at, when I first got there, there was about, I'm just going to guess, 20 people or so. It was a small congregation. I mean, they were dyed-in-the-wall, hymns-only kinds of people. And that's what they grew up with. It's the only kind of music that they felt should be sung in church, and they were hard-lined about it. You know, and there's a lot of different reasons why people like singing different kinds of songs in church. You know, maybe you grew up with something that really means a lot to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great, but you just always have to remember that that's you, and that was the experience that you had. But, I ran up against this, and it's the first time that it really hit me. And when I first got there, knowing this, I sang about half hymns, okay, which to me was a huge compromise. I didn't grow up with that. I mean, as many of you know, I grew up Catholic. There's a few hymns that you sung, but Catholics have their own music. If you ever go through like a Catholic songbook, it's got all different kinds of songs that we don't do or know. And not only that, but I didn't sing those kinds of songs in my personal life anyway. So I thought I was really compromising. So at the end of a service, and one that I remember the service that really had gone pretty well, an elderly gentleman about my age, and thinking back, he probably was about my age, and I thought he was an elderly gentleman. He was somewhat of a passive-aggressive individual. He came backstage after the service, and he says to me, "You know, I really appreciate the hymns you're doing." I said, "Well, thank you." And he said, "But that's not enough." He said, "You need to do all hymns." And I said, "Okay." And in my own mind, I'm thinking, "Are you crazy? I'm not doing that." And I didn't say that. That's just what I thought. And I said, "Well, I think that doing half hymns is plenty, and I'm not changing that." And, you know, I could have understood it, I guess, if it would have been left there, but it wasn't left there. And that person and others of like mind, suddenly I was off limits. I was ignored. They would not talk to me, to the point of me saying good morning and them looking at me and turning and walking the other direction. So this is what I experienced, this young guy and getting into worship ministry. So I really had a bad experience with older music. Now, I had nothing against, you know, certain hymns at the time. I thought some of them were really good. But it wasn't the music. It was the attitude. So I moved on. And through all kinds of trial, actually, the music there became kind of a hallmark of the revival that we experienced there. And whether it was, you know, choirs, which were popular back then. We did a lot of Brooklyn Tab music, really powerful. Lots of testimonies, a lot of original music. We had all, you know, several bands, things like that. Really good music, like we do here. So it became, you know, great. But little did I know that through all of that, I had harbored some bitterness. And the Lord, after a couple of years, actually, just began tugging at my heart, and that's how he does it, until you just can't get past it. If there's something that he wants to speak to you in your life, he doesn't do it all at once. He'll just do one thing at a time, and he'll say, "You've got something to deal with." So I did have something to deal with. So in order for me to get past this, we used to do musicals back then, and they used to get a lot of people. And so I decided to do a musical of all hymns, which was a big deal for me. especially after the experience that I had had. But I felt like I needed to do it. So we did it. It went over very well. And it really was a healing for me. You know, it's funny. You wouldn't think that music would do that. But it's not the music. It's us. And things that get attached to it. And feelings that get attached to it. And so, fortunately, to this day, I've always loved lots of different kinds of music. A lot of you probably don't know that, but I love all different styles of music and just different kinds. And I do love old music as well. And Kristen Whiteley reminds me how good those songs are quite often. Thank you, Kristen. And so this morning, I want to talk about forgiveness, and it's a big subject. And Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22 says this. Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And some passages read 70 times seven. That's a lot. That's a lot of times. And shortly after this statement, Jesus tells a story of a servant who owed his master a great sum. And the master forgives him of his debt. But then the servant proceeds to turn around and not forgive people in his life. The point that Jesus makes is those who are forgiven much must forgive others. We're always to forgive. And that's where we start. And it's a high bar. I know it's a high bar. Always forgiving others. Well, you might say some things aren't quite that easy, Pastor Roger. Yeah, that's true. And we'll talk about that. But I believe that a regular practice of forgiveness in your life is going to free you. And it's going to allow us all to have greater joy and to be a greater light to those around us. I ran across an article by a lady named Venita Rendell Reisner. I'd never heard of her before. It's from the Desiring God website, and I read that on occasion. That is the John Piper website. I like a lot of things that he says. And so Venita Rendell Reisner, I'm going to get more into her background in a moment because she says some pretty stark things about forgiveness. But when you know where she comes from, you'll get it, okay? But it starts like this. It says, there are many definitions of forgiveness, but a simple one is to surrender the right to hurt others in response to the way they've hurt us. I'm going to say that again. To surrender the right to hurt others in response to the way they've hurt us. Forgiveness means refusing to retaliate or hold bitterness against people for the ways they have wounded us. It is a unilateral act, not conditional on the person being repentant or even willing to acknowledge what they've done. Forgiveness is not saying that sin doesn't matter. It is not approving of what the other person has done, minimizing the offense, or denying we've been wronged. Forgiveness is acknowledging that the other hurt us and they may never be able to make it right. And the Apostle Paul writes, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. All right. Now I'm going to pause in this article and I'm going to address this scripture. As God in Christ forgave you. So when we think about Jesus Christ and what he went through for us, and how he responded to those that harmed him, I don't think we have much of a case for harboring bitterness toward other people. I really don't. Jesus was beaten terribly, spit on. His freedom was taken away, and eventually was crucified. He was nailed onto a wooden cross, all in an unjust situation. He was innocent, and he did it all for us. And then how did he respond after all this happened to him? Luke 23:34 says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I left this last part in here, even though this isn't the main gist of what I mean by the scripture. But it says, "And they cast lots to divide his garments." So Jesus is forgiving all those who are killing him, torturing him, wagging their heads and abusing him verbally. And then they are literally gambling for his clothes while he watches. Gambling for his clothes. I suppose it doesn't get worse than that. But Jesus, in the most extreme act of humility and love, forgives them for what they're doing. So this is our example. This is our high bar when it comes to forgiveness. Now, I have 5 points that I have personally learned that help me when I am confronted with daily slights or people that might come against me, saying bad things about me, doing bad things that I might take as bad, saying bad things about other people that I care about. That's a whole nother issue, is taking on somebody else's slight, somebody else's who you feel has been wronged. There's that in me as it is in some of you, where you want to jump on their side and take their side, and shouldn't say that about that person. There's something's good about that. Taking up someone else's offense. But a lot of the time, that's not a good idea. So there are things that have helped me not to become bitter, because I'm just going to say, as a pastor, I don't know if you've ever thought about being a pastor before, or those of you who have been a pastor, I know there's some of you out there. You're dealing with a whole lot of people. And they are awesome. Except we're all human, folks. And sometimes people say things, and they don't know the entire situation most of the time. And so as a pastor, you have to learn to forgive, like, quick. Because if you don't, you can't do your job. I have known situations, I have had to do this. Other pastors I know have had to do this, where you have been told something by someone that you cannot share. You cannot share. It's personal. And I understand that. We understand that as pastors. And then someone else in the situation will come against you. But if they knew what you knew, it would be a different story. But you can't say it. But you can't say it, and you don't. And so you just have to move on and forgive. Now, most of the time, pastoring is a great thing. But you have to forgive quick. I mean quick. Because you don't know what's around the bend. You don't know what's going to be said next. And fortunately, at this church, we have so many amazing people. Very rarely, is there something too serious in terms of harming me or my wife or something like that. So I thank you guys for that. And that comes along with being a Christ follower. So these points. And before I say them, I do want to say this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, not just as a pastor, you want to be a light to your world. We can't afford to become bitter, you guys. Because then we won't be a person that's filled with joy. If you're a person that's bitter, you can't do it. You can't be a person that's filled with joy. Bitterness robs us of joy, and it's pretty hard to light up our world. It's pretty hard to turn one of those lights on out there in the lobby if you're full of bitterness and hate. We don't want that. All right, the first one is this. These are things that I have learned, and see the big picture. Well, that can mean a lot of things. See the big picture. 1 Peter 2, verse 19 says, "For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." Okay, so how should we be enduring sorrows? Especially when you've been wronged. The first thing you have to do is you have to be able to see the big picture of God in your circumstance. And what do I mean by that? Well, that's what the scripture talks about. Mindful of God. And I'm going to continue to read. This won't be on the screen. In verse 20, "For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure?" So that's basically saying that you're guilty, and so you receive your punishment. Well, that's... the scripture says, well, that's really no credit to you. You're getting what you deserve. But then it says, "But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you." We talked about that. "Leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." And then verse 23 says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." So that is the big picture. That Christ has suffered for you and me. And that has to, you have to have that deep understanding if you're going to be a person that forgives. You have to have that understanding of what God has done for you. And if you know that and you still are going to judge people really quick, boy, friends, that's wrong. That's no good. That's no good at all. Because if we really understand what Christ has went through for us and how his reaction was to all that had happened against him, we're going to forgive a little more easily. We're going to see the big picture right from the start. So that when someone says something, somebody does something, you're going to take a step back right away and go, "All right, God, help me out here. I see the big picture, but it's not easy. It hurts, but I'm going to see the big picture." Remember, in regard to other people, too, this is sort of a side. It's not a rabbit trail, but it's a sideline. There's always more to a story than what you initially hear, okay? There is always another side. It may seem pretty obvious to you at the time. I've heard a few things lately that I've had to step back and go, "I bet you there's more to this story." Pray that you may see and hear without a filter that jades the truth, okay? Being mindful of God. Even so, there are times when you've done good and you suffer for it. And the big picture is that Christ suffered for being wrongly accused and he loved others through it. He showed us the way. He is the big picture. Can you say amen to that? Okay, we're going to go number two. You all right? Okay. Number two is forgive easily. You might think, "Wow, I wish I could do that." Well, you can. Ephesians 4:32, we just read this. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So listen, most things that happen every day, most of the things that happen, most of the things that people say, most of the things that people do, forgiveness can come easily if you're ready for it. Okay? It can. Proverbs 20:22 says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. Just get this idea of repaying evil for evil out of your head. Somebody does something against you, the whole retribution, revenge, that is not a way that we are to go as believers in Christ. It's going to get you nowhere, and I mean that. It will get you nowhere. You're going to think it feels good? No. No. You're going to dig yourself a deeper hole. Okay? Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by it, many become defiled. See, this is what happens with bitterness. It's not just you. It's a whole lot of other people that get involved. Bitterness is no good. Period. No good. A root of bitterness that can spring up. There's an old saying, and I've tried to remember this a lot. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Think about it. Think about it. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Because you are the one that gets hurt. Is that right a lot of the time? A lot of the time, no. That's the way it is. Bitterness is no good. It affects you mentally. It affects you emotionally and physically. I have known individuals who were bitter people, and their body ended up racked with pain through arthritis and other ailments. Is it always because of that? No. I think I'm feeling a little bit in my fingers now and then. But it can do that to you, and I think you guys know that. Bitterness can do that. Forgive easily. It's going to save you heartache. It's going to save you worry and poor health. And it also will limit the effect of the wrong done to you and others. I just want to say, it's not that when something happens against you, it's not that it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that. It does hurt. And you know, there's more I'm going to say, which sort of deals with what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. And I'm not thinking of a certain instance or anything like that. I just think that all of us go through this. But the way to joy sometimes is the hard road. And that means when it hurts, being able to see the big picture, being able to forgive quickly so it doesn't harm you or other people. All right, the third one is there any truth to what has been shared? Okay, this is a big one, and this is something that I have to be honest, I came up with. Now, truth is all through the Bible, but for me, one of the biggest things that helps me right away is to ask, is there any truth in it? Now, you might say, well, shouldn't you know that right away? No, here's why. Because people sometimes say things, they might be right, but people say things sometimes in a terrible way. You know, it can be an attack. And so verbally attacking you, although what they're saying or part of what they're saying might be true. So you have to be able to, you've got to be able to step back from that and go, okay, this was not presented to me well. But God, and we always look to the Lord, Lord, is there any truth to what's being said? Is there something that I could change? Is there something that I need to see differently? Is there something that I have done that has caused this person to react in this way? Now, that's a hard thing to do. But I have found that I've been able to forgive easily doing that. Because usually, not always, but usually, there's a little sliver of truth to what they're saying. And sometimes it's mighty small. But usually it's there. And so if there is truth in there, the messenger sometimes does not say it well. And they don't deal with you well sometimes. So you have to be able to step back as a believer in Christ and say, Lord, is there something I can learn? Is there something I can change? Did I do something here? Okay? All right. Still okay? It's hard stuff, isn't it? I know. Number four, pray for those who have wronged you. Matthew 5:44, you guys know this, many of you, but I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So we are to have the heart of Jesus who prayed for his enemies. And it's also going to help to heal your heart. I used to work with a gentleman who was difficult to work with. Has anybody worked with anybody who was difficult? Raise your hand. Yeah, just about everybody here. Yeah, hopefully it wasn't you who was the difficult one. I worked with somebody who, they had their own issues, but I came into a sales situation once where I came in, new ideas. I had worked for a pretty large company, came into a smaller company. I had all these ideas, and this person did not appreciate it. And they made my life a living hell for months, and I am not kidding. And I had no choice. I mean, I like to say I did this because I'm just such a great person. I had no choice. It was either quit my job or pray for this guy every lunch, which I did. I walked out in front of the manufacturing plant I worked at. I prayed for this guy every day. You ask my wife. That was a rough go. I will say, in time, I'm not going to say we became really good friends, but he was a valued employee, and in time, he turned his life over to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say it was because of me. I prayed for him. There were other people in his life for sure. But I do know that if we will pray for other people that are attacking us, that we're having a hard time with, it's going to help you, first of all. It's going to help you. And God does listen to our prayers. Okay. All right, the fifth one. Last one. Now, I say this one out of experience. I just want, before I say this, remember our high bar is that we always forgive. That's our bar. Number five is some types of forgiveness take time, and that's okay. I came up with that. Okay? Some types of forgiveness are not instantaneous. But the important thing is to keep your heart at a place that you want it. That's hard. That's the hard part. Are we still asked to forgive? You bet. Because Christ is our example. But some types of forgiveness might take Christian counseling. Maybe a different perspective that helps to point something out to you that you haven't seen. Now, I'm going to go back to this article that I started with, Vanitha Rendell Reisner, and I'm going to just read a brief paragraph before I get into her article again about her situation and what she went through. She had 21 surgeries by the age of 13. She had years in the hospital because of polio, verbal and physical bullying from schoolmates, multiple miscarriages as a young wife, the death of a child because of a doctor's foolish mistake, a debilitating progressive disease, riveting pain, abandonment, unwanted divorce. She had more to forgive than most of us are going to have to endure. So before I read this, I'm just going to say that this, I wrote this down for myself. This is for extreme cases, okay? Here we go. Forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation or restoration. And it does not require restoring trust or inviting the people who hurt us back into a relationship. This is the article. And I'm going to stop there just for a minute. And I want you to know something, that we can always trust in God because he's faithful and perfect. And we know he loves us unconditionally. Friends, we can't always trust people. I wish that was the case. Wasn't the case. We can't always trust everybody. It's just the way it is. We have to be wise. We have to let God help us. So when we forgive, it doesn't always mean immediate reconciliation or restoration or trust. Okay? All right, I'll continue on. Forgiveness is unconditional, but meaningful reconciliation and restoration are conditional in the gospel and in human relationships on the offender's genuine repentance, humble willingness to accept the consequences of his or her actions, and a desire by both parties to work on the relationship. Forgiving people also doesn't mean they won't experience consequences for their sin. When we forgive them, however, we leave those consequences to God, who says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's from Romans 12:19. All right, now before I read this next line, I see why she's saying what she's going to say next, because this is for extreme situations. She says, this doesn't mean we may not pursue legal action, if warranted, against someone who has hurt us. In certain circumstances, that may be vital for the rehabilitation of the offender or for protecting other potential victims. Okay, so this is a... Boy, this is an extreme situation. We're talking about abuse in a lot of different ways. I don't want to just rest on a certain type of situation. But for some people, there does need to be some type of legal action to protect others. Okay? Can you say amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. All right. This is serious stuff. Forgiveness is costly. In the Bible, it involves shedding blood, sacrifice, death. Honestly, the first step of forgiveness still often feels like death. I want to cling to my right to be angry and often resent being asked to give that up. It all seems so unfair. My flesh still demands some type of retribution. Forgiving those who have hurt us sets us free. It keeps bitterness from taking root, bitterness that would defile us, we talked about that, and everyone around us. When we cling to resentment, we unknowingly give our offender ongoing power over our hearts. That's no good. Which keeps us enslaved to our anger. And this prison we have created pulls us away from our Lord because we cannot hold on to bitterness and hold on to God. All right. Now, some of you, this is a really hard message for. You've gone through some really tough stuff. And believe you me, I have big time compassion for those that have been abused. Big time. And I thank God that he has more compassion than I could ever hope for and more love than I could ever hope for or ever hope to give. 1 Peter 2:23, I'm going back to this. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Entrust yourself to the Lord. Entrust yourself. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. And for some of you, you're like, mercifully, he's done. But quite honestly, if you're a person that's held on to some things, you're keeping joy from your life. And I want to see you let go of that. And just to review the five things. First one is see the big picture. That's that big picture of Christ. That high bar that he forgave in the most extreme circumstance. And the second one is to forgive easily. This is day-to-day things that can come our way. To quickly forgive. Just say, oh, Lord, I forgive. In Jesus' name, I pray for him, because that's another one that we have is prayer. That's the fourth one. The third one is that, is there any truth to what has been shared? Always ask that question. It's gonna keep you from getting yourself into trouble, for one. You can react emotionally to something, and actually, you might be wrong because you're jaded by hurt. Ask the Lord, is there any truth to this? Is there anything I can learn from this? Pray for those who have wronged you. And the last one is some types of forgiveness take time, and that's okay. Now, I don't like bringing messages like this, and I don't think my next one is going to be so serious. But this is something that will really free you. And I'm sorry. I am so sorry that people hurt one another. It's human nature. We tend to do that. But as believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And so we're able to forgive. And then you're free. You're free. Then you're going to be able to see things for the way they really are. You're not going to have this filter that causes you to be mad, causes you to be jealous or angry or some of these feelings that don't do us any good. Love conquers all. It really does. And so we're going to sing another song here, and there's a part of me, just being honest with you, there's a part of me that at the end of a service, I mean, it's good. It's good to have people respond. But oftentimes, it doesn't happen right then. And I just want you to know, I am going to have us respond. But if it's something that you need to think about, it's okay. It's okay. Ask the Lord. Look in the Word of God. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. But I am going to have a moment here where we respond. So if you would all bow your heads. And so if you're in this place today and you're struggling with some type of unforgiveness, you really want to let it go. You really want to let it go. Then on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand, okay? And it's all right. Nobody's looking around. So one, two, three, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yeah, lots of you. I'll wait just a little while longer. You can raise your hand. It's all right. Just being honest. Okay. Thank you. Sometimes it feels good just to take a deep breath. Especially when I've had a cold for 2.5 weeks. All right. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Lord Jesus, we ask you today in these situations that have come to our mind that you help us. Help our hearts. We ask you, Lord God, to help us to forgive. And Lord, we do understand that doesn't mean we immediately trust someone. It doesn't say that there's immediate reconciliation, although sometimes we have to do our part for that to take place, but it doesn't always happen. But the very first thing to do is for our own hearts is to forgive, because you forgave. Help us, Lord God, to do it, to forgive. So, Lord God, we do that. We lay it all down at your feet, no matter what it is that someone has wronged us in. And in Jesus' name, we forgive and we leave the judgment to you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's all stand up, everyone. Hello, hello. I just pulled a trick on Steve. Ha ha. Grab the same microphone again. I'd like to really tell you a good joke so that we could all be laughing, but I know no jokes. So we're just going to sing.